You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Jason Mulderig.
I think when it comes to HBO, it's really about quality and distinction and uniqueness and looking for stories that haven't been told before. HBO Max is something that's wholly different. It still has a shared DNA with HBO. It's about high quality curated storytelling, and it has sort of a bit of a human touch as well, just like the HBO brand. It's really a collection of entertainment that does happen to include HBO.
Jason is Senior Vice President for Brand Marketing for Warner Media Entertainment and Direct to Consumer, responsible for the branding, positioning, advertising, pro-social, and promotional efforts for the HBO Max brand, as well as the HBO brand and streaming platforms HBO Go and HBO Now. Mulderig joined HBO in 1999 as a marketing assistant in the affiliate group. In 2011, he added product marketing to his responsibilities with the launch of HBO's first streaming app, HBO Go, and in 2013, he was promoted to VP, assuming responsibility for the HBO master brand strategy and advertising for all brand communications, including the HBO linear channel and digital products. In 2015, Mulderig oversaw the brand positioning, brand development, and advertising campaigns for HBO Now. He currently oversees the National College Ambassador Program and promotion of HBO's licensed theatrical movies, and in 2020, he also took over leadership of HBO's brand social media platforms and HBO.com. Jason, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, every now and then when I have someone on that has listened, I'm able to make the joke of a longtime listener, first-time caller or guest. But I feel in this case, I am the longtime HBO subscriber who is now talking to the master brands. So I'm thrilled to talk to you about what I think is a very unique brand.
Yeah, no, it really is. And it's an exciting brand.
I would agree. I am reminded of that classic HBO campaign of it's not TV, it's HBO. I had that in my head this morning as I was thinking about our chat. And, you know, we've talked about this period of media and especially entertainment platforms being so different, being so diffused. And I think one thing that's really interesting is, as I thought of that campaign, that was a long time ago that HBO first tried to stretch outside of we are a one of many channels with that message. And I think that laid a really important foundation for where platforms have needed to go. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of brands, TV networks, and you know, other services out there that are looking to take that quality position within their category. And, you know, entertainment is certainly no exception to that.
So in all of those shifts, has there been some sort of guiding HBO principle to what the brand is beyond the not TV campaign? What is a North Star that guides the HBO brand as it's become diffused? I mean, even in going through your bio, we've talked about HBO itself, but then streaming, HBO Go, HBO Now, now with HBO Max. There's a lot of different ways beyond, you know, the traditional origins of the brand of subscribing to HBO via your cable provider. Now there's all sorts of ways that you can interact with the HBO brand. Is there something that is that guiding North Star?
I think when it comes to HBO, it's really about quality and distinction and uniqueness and looking for stories that haven't been told before. Now, how you access that brand and those stories, there have been different access points. There have been Go and there have been Now. When it comes to HBO Max, HBO Max is something that's wholly different. It still has a shared DNA with HBO. It's about high quality curated storytelling, and it has sort of a bit of a human touch as well, just like the HBO brand. It's not a superstore. It's really a collection of entertainment that does happen to include HBO.
That's fascinating, because you know we talk a lot here about the different levels of branding, and certainly when you have parent brands and or a parent brand and child brands, it's a struggle. I was actually just talking with a very small business, a very small brand earlier in the week that was struggling with this, that found that, oh, we split that off into another brand too soon, and they were having trouble managing, even in a very small business, these multiple brands, and they realized, this isn't a lot different. This is a different channel, but it's not in terms of what, I mean, distribution channel. I don't want to confuse when talking about HBO, which can be a literal channel for some, mm-hmm. but it was a different distribution channel, and they realized that they'd kind of overbranded themselves. So they're working to simplify that. And I know that currently in transitioning with HBO Go, HBO Now, and HBO Max, how do you navigate knowing when to add an additional brand? When does that make sense?
I think that when it comes to HBO Max, I mean, it was really about looking towards new audiences that HBO hadn't really served in the past. And it's hard to get a family to use HBO every single day because there are additional viewing occasions that include kids and co-viewing, and it is a more mature brand. So HBO Max was really about expanding to those audiences. So that is somewhat what drove the decision, because now you have this collection of entertainment where there's something for everyone in the family. And this HBO Max platform now has content that is right for families, kids themselves, younger adults, Gen Z. Certainly more opportunities and content for women. HBO has historically skewed a little bit male in its viewership. So there are more genres that I think from a Max perspective create these new viewing occasions. So more unscripted, more comedy, more animation, more movies. And it's really for everyone in the house. And I think HBO Max as a combined service have created those opportunities to get there really, really fast.
Is there a balance? It seems like in streaming services, you talk about all the different audiences, and it's challenging because you want a lot of stuff. But at the same time, you look at all of the different places where you can get a whole lot of stuff. You've mentioned the term curation a couple of times, and I think that's interesting, or collection of what's there too, because as you look at all of these different services where you can go and find things, it is a little bit, it can be hard to stand out in terms of who's got everything. But when you talk about who the audience is and talking about things that can be more mature, can be edgy, I mean, that would be very different than what one might find on a Disney Plus, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in thinking about about what you find and where folks might find it. What audience considerations did you give in terms of targeting of the new platform?
Yeah, we had to look at where HBO had seen success and where HBO potentially didn't have a content offering that was meeting the needs of those new audiences that were going to help us grow. Because really, this is about growing HBO and now Max overall within the U.S. We were in about 36 million homes with HBO based on sort of the more traditional cable operator, plus a few of the ancillary businesses that we had launched with the MVPDs and other services. So, you know, we looked at the overall collection of content from Warner Media, and we looked at the audiences that we were trying to reach. And, you know, it became a really good marriage of content, whether it's the Warner Brothers legacy of film and television, the animation from Cartoon Network, or Boomerang or Adult Swim, and our ability to meet the needs of those audiences with just the right amount of content and quality content. And I think there's a very interesting tension in terms of what is the right amount of content? What is the difference between being sort of a bespoke provider of entertainment versus a superstore? And when you look at consumer expectations, they want a lot of choice. But if you give them too much choice, there's this sort of sense of paralysis. And in the market right now, there are so many streaming services offering so many different kinds of content. There needs to be a way to filter through that. And I think the HBO brand and then HBO Max as well, and the heritage that the brands have that make up that collection, can really help our audience cut through that that anxiety of what to watch. Anytime you go to HBO Max, there's going to be something really good to watch that's recommended by a brand that they trust. There's equity in a lot of the content that we have. So the new fresh Looney Tunes, right? I mean, such a storied history with that animation franchise. And now we have new fresh versions of it for the entire family to enjoy, or something like Studio Ghibli. And whether it's Spirited Away or, you know, My Neighbor Totoro and the other films that they offer, those are really high quality offerings that are right for the whole family.
Hey, On Brand listeners, Nick Westergaard here. This is usually the point in the show where I mention that I'd love to speak at your next conference or corporate event. However, given current circumstances, most live events are being postponed or they're moving to virtual events. All of my keynotes are available virtually as webinars, including new talks on marketing in times of crisis and on virtual communication itself. As a listener of the On Brand podcast, you know I can keep an online audience engaged. I've also conducted countless global webinars and online education programs. Learn more now at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard with two A's .com/speaking. Now back to the show. So I'm so glad you talked a little bit about the anxiety of what to watch, because I am one of those viewers personally that ends up just sitting there paralyzed. I need a plan, which probably speaks to my planning and organizational nature, that when I'm air quote relaxing at the end of the day, I get flustered by the superstore options. But I also think that it's interesting, as you look at launching this brand right now, that has to be, I struggle to call it an opportunity, because certainly this pandemic is just hobbling our society and our economy in all sorts of ways. But at the same time, we need stuff. And we need things that we can do from home, that we can engage with. And I know that made me a lot more interested when the service was launched. And I saw, oh, I think I get this as a result of my cable provider. So I was eager to get in there, get under the hood, And I was surprised to find all of that. So it's an interesting marriage of what's there and everything that you were just walking through. And also when this is getting launched, did you restructure the content, how it was presented, given this time that we find ourselves in?
Yeah, there's an interesting pattern between, you know, the tailwinds that this type of a sort of fortunate situation would give us, where you see consumption of entertainment overall increase, but then also the headwinds that, you know, unemployment and, you know, an economy heading into recession, or if not already in recession, can provide or allow for really someone at the highest price in the category. So it really is going to come down to the quality of content that we have. From a product standpoint, I think we really didn't make too many changes. We hit our launch date, which was really so impressive from our technology teams, you know, to be able to continue to build this product and launch it on time with all the features that they had intended for launch. From a marketing standpoint, we certainly did need to change course. I mean, we had, you know, investments in out of home and theater, and we were launching this off of some of the biggest events on television. So the NCAA tournament and basketball playoffs for the NBA. So we really had to kind of rethink that marketing plan and create our own moment, you know, and just go into the broadcast market and buy as much as we could and create our own sort of roadblock over multiple nights to really launch this service with a critical mass of communication and sort of condense this marketing beat to launch it.
That's fascinating. As you speak to that critical mass, are there lessons that listeners might be able to find in turn? Because I know that's got to be something many are struggling with out there right now of, we had a plan, it was based on some sort of live event, some sort of thing that's not happening anymore. Where did you look, if not specifically, what was a recipe you used to find that critical mass?
It was sort of gathering up sort of the long tail of viewers in as many places as we could and condensing the media spend to have that impact. So our initial launch was really over a two-day period where we really focused on it, anywhere where you could buy a TV spot, buy a high-impact digital unit, or something on the social networks, be it video, masthead units, Twitter Spotlight, you name it. We wanted to sort of own TV and internet and radio over the course of that day. And that was really how we pieced it together. And then we were able to do some fun and innovative things with partners and talent to continue to amplify that launch message. And then, you know, once we got past that, we carried on a pretty sustained beat up to the 2 days around launch again, where we sort of bookended that launch with another big burst of media to kind of create another moment. I mean, we were really manufacturing our own moment, especially at the beginning. Launch was its own moment with a lot of press as well.
So you talk about launch and a lot of press and headwinds and tailwinds. And one additional challenge beyond the pandemic has been the outcry in the wake of murders of George Floyd and others, and in looking at and reassessing in the bigger conversations we're having as a society, in looking at media, in looking at things like Gone with the Wind. And that was an area where you were, I think, a leader in that conversation, because here's a property that's been sitting there for quite some time as a part of the new platform. But in looking at that, I think it was a real opportunity to lead, but also something probably very scary at an early stage for a new brand. How did those conversations and action come about?
Yeah, Gone with the Wind is, you know, it's been a storied part of sort of the Warner Brothers film, and obviously it's won plenty of awards, but, you know, we felt like we needed to add a little bit of context, given everything that was going on, and to ensure that we weren't celebrating necessarily the point of view of that film, but we were putting it in the right historical context. And that sort of went part and parcel with some of the other programs that we also made available for sampling, free outside of the paywall, you know, from an HBO standpoint, be it Baltimore Rising, Say Your Name, Traffic Stop. And we also made The Watchmen available for free as well, along with Notes from the Field, Wyatt Cenac's Problem Areas, which has touched on similar policing issues throughout the United States as well, along with Four Little Girls and Baltimore Rising.
Well, what you mentioned there, too, I think is an interesting opportunity in new streaming platforms beyond going and seeing a movie projected, when you can contextually provide additional content around that as well. And in some cases, that takes the form of deleted scenes and bonus material. But I think, you know, being able to have a larger conversation around that as well is very important, and is again, a real opportunity. And I think that as brands look at this, I think, again, the caveat I put in front of all of this, that leadership is scary, and I think that jumping in and taking action is very important. So I think well done in that.
Great, thank you.
And one other thing I wanted to also mention in walking through all of this is just for folks that don't know, and we talked about Gone with the Wind and classics, but there's a lot of stuff on HBO Max. I think one thing in looking beyond that, can you walk through for folks listening what all you can find at HBO Max?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of unexpected jewels in there, along with, you know, a lot of the most popular stuff on television. So there's, of course, all episodes of Friends and Big Bang Theory, which are some of the most celebrated television series and most watched television series that, you know, have appeared over the last 20 years, along with, you know, the Studio Ghibli catalog, which is just extraordinary artful animation. We just launched South Park. And we also have Rick and Morty, the adult animation offering, is really deep. There's a lot of anime from originally from Crunchyroll on there. The entire Warner Brothers film catalog that we have access to, we've been sort of pulling and have a pretty rich list of titles on a monthly basis from them as well. So everything from Blade Runner to Matrix to the DC theatrical movies, be it Wonder Woman, Superman, The Dark Knight, Suicide Squad, along with incredible family animation as well from Cartoon Network. And we're launching some new originals now as well. We just launched Adventure Time. And so those are just some of those favorites. And of course, it includes all of HBO as well. Everything you would normally get from HBO and that has been on our streaming services is part of this service as well.
So a few weeks ago on the podcast, Tom Peters was on and talked about excellence being the best short-term strategy. And he stressed the importance of what you do in the next 5 minutes. So if marketers are listening right now and brand builders, what's something as you look at building a brand right now that you would encourage folks to do in the next 5 minutes?
I think you have to continually go back and look at your brand purpose and the messages that you're putting out in the market. And of course, I'm going to approach this from a marketing or advertising standpoint to ensure that it is believable. Advertising and marketing is really expensive and it takes up a lot of resources of the company. And so you need to make sure that consumers are receiving that and internalizing that, even if they're not taking action at that moment. And I think that's really the investment that comes from brand building and long-term brand building and brand health.
And as we wrap up, what is, Jason, a brand that has made you smile recently?
I probably have to say Spotify, and obviously it's a well-known, well-consumed brand. But during this crisis, of course, I've turned to streaming services as well, both on the video side, but also on the audio side. And I just find that when I wake up in the morning, and whether it's I'm listening to their daily drive or their daily wellness playlist, it just amazes me how it knows me, and it gives me everything I need in the morning. Prior to discovering those playlists, I would piece together my listening through four or five or six apps and different podcasts. And now to just have it all sorted for me and delivered for me when I wake up, it really makes my morning. You know, I listen to it over the course of an hour. And I think when technology can get out of the way and make you forget that it's actually there, that's when it's really a great product. So that's been making me smile just about every day.
You know, I would echo that. Every now and then I jump in and say, yes, that makes me smile too, because I was just marveling at that, because I too used to stitch together the audio experience from a few different providers. And the last one to go finally was podcasts, and I just liked their interface there better. And I realized, all of my listening now happens via Spotify. So good job at making both of us smile. Jason, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
They can go to hbomax.com, and there's also a free trial, so they can log in or use your HBO Go credentials if you're a Go subscriber to get access to HBO Max.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Jason, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, the aforementioned Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.